Story was told about a dad who won the office pool or whatever and won a toy. And so he took the toy home to his children, and he was trying to decide who would receive the toy. And he said, "Well, which one of you is the most obedient?" And they all looked at five children. They all looked at each other. He said, "Well, which one of you is most loving?" And children sort of looked at each other, and they didn't make a decision. So finally he said, "Which one of you does everything that your mom asks you to do?" And the children sort of talked to each other, and they turned around and they said, "Daddy, on that question, we think we've determined that you can keep the toy." Because he always did what his wife told him to do. Well, in this passage of Scripture that we've had today, during the week, Emmy usually asks me at some point in time, "And what is the title of your sermon?" And so as I read this passage again and reflected on it and finally came up with the idea of the heart of the Christian faith, as I read these last words of Christ to his disciples, I think again of how speeches and comments have changed society. We all remember Winston Churchill in World War II when the Blitz was taking place in England, and it looked that they were going to be defeated, and he said, "This is England's finest hour." And so sometimes inspiration is found in just simple words. Has it been too many weeks ago, we went on a staff retreat. And I had mentioned to the staff that I wanted them to have a mission statement. A statement that spoke to their heart of who they are supposed to be in exemplifying Christ to those who come in and out of our church doors. We are here more than any of the rest of you. We have more hours here. What is it that we want to exemplify in our day-to-day work in the church? Sometimes you read mission statements and they are whole saturation of words. Kevin Starr says that a mission statement should be 8 words or less. Jesus makes the statement in this first part of verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I think about that passage of Scripture a lot. I think sometimes about my failures, and I have found myself encouraging myself more times than not as I journey along and saying, "Terry, now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to give up. Now is not the time to give in." When I preached my senior sermon in Bible school, one of the things that that I remember was to continue now in that faith which has been given to you. And I realized that even though I was graduating from one step, that there were other steps and commitments that needed to be made or that waited in front of me. Jesus said, if you love me, love is fun. To be in love is fun. Right? The answer is yes. Just like with the children, the answer is yes. Love is fun. To be in love is fun. And Jesus is speaking to us about God's love, His love. And He speaks to us those words which say, keep my commandments, know my will, abide in me, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. So if we are loving and we're seeking and knocking, then the motivation is right and the search is right. And so we begin to respond to those needs around us based on this love. This love should be the essence of the community that we belong to. Have you ever been to a church that was fragmented by dissension? I have. Have you ever been in a group and you can tell that they were just torn apart because of one another's convictions in regard to something? And Jesus is speaking to us here about being a community of people who love Christ. The overwhelming emotion for us should be this emotion of love and nurture and care and sharing the gifts that we give should be our love for God and our love for one another. Jesus said to us that all will know that you're my disciples and that you love one another. People want to come to a place where they are a part of the community and where they're loved and cared and nurtured and where they can return that love. And Jesus speaks to us about receiving the Holy Spirit. We don't talk much about the Holy Spirit. Pentecost will be in a few Sundays. We'll be at annual conference. We won't be here. And we've talked about that in staff. On that important day. And we had talked so much about Pentecost because Pentecost comes and goes and sometimes we don't make a big deal out of it, and yet it's the very birthday of the church. And it comes and it goes. Next Sunday, I believe it is Ascension Sunday, and Christ is preparing His disciples in this reading for His ascension, for His departure. I can only imagine the loss. I mean, they had experienced His crucifixion and now His resurrection, and they're all renewed, and now He's going to be taken away again. But Jesus said to them, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Receive the Holy Spirit. And He breathes on them. I'm going to send you that one which is a comforter. Do you know who were the most fervent evangelists at the birthing of our country? I'm going to tell you, it might surprise you, is Methodist. It's the Methodist. And the little children's thing that we do for them, they said that there were places in this country, they said there's only two things live, the crows and the Methodists. They were all over. They were excited. They were effervescent in their faith. They were contagious. They were a dynamo. Do we still have that? Do we still have that fire burning within us? Do we still love as Christ commissioned us to love? A community of people who love Christ. That's pretty simple. When you think about that as a mission statement of what you want to be and how you can fit into that, a community of people who love Christ. You can be a Democrat and do that. A Republican. Care and love each other. I was sharing one of the programs that Linda and I enjoy watching is Don't Forget the Lyrics. One of the reasons is that if it's a 60s song or a beach music song, she can sing all the words. Linda, that is, can sing all. And so I was sharing with them that we enjoy listening to Buddy Holly and all these others as they sing those songs. And I was thinking about that. I can remember today very vividly where I was the first time I heard Double Shot of My Baby's Love. I don't know where that band came from. Do y'all know where? I was with a baseball team, and we were coming back from playing Woodruff, and we were on the interstate riding in the back seat of a 57 Chevrolet. And that song came on the radio, and that whole car was rocking. I said, who is it? They're from Greenwood. Today, when I hear that, I can sing the whole song. Well, they tell a story about a man, and his name is John Reed, I think it was, or it is Jimmy Reed. And he sang the song Big Boss Man and Bright Lights and Big City and the old 45s, you know. He had the low baritone type, Mississippi Delta blues type voice. And they say that if you can get past the scratching on that record, and if you listen real intently, that you will hear another voice. It's his mother's voice. And they say that he was such a good musician, but he couldn't play the guitar and sing at the same time. He would forget the lyrics. So as it would come time for the lyrics, his mother was there, and she would whisper into his ear what the next lyric was, and he would sing it. I share that with you in closing. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, speaks to our hearts the lyrics of what it means to be the church. The lyrics of what it means to be a Christian. We are not alone. God is with us. And in closing on this Memorial Sunday, no greater love hath anyone than this, than one who lays down their life for their friend. Amen.